Welcome to the Geek Actually After Show, episode 113 for the 18th of December, 2010. I am Dave McVane. I'm continued to be joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I continue to be amazed by that hat. For those that aren't aware of it in the audio show, Dave's wearing the tiniest Christmas hat I've seen in my life.
Strapped to my headphones. Come on, it's kind of cool. Is it still mesmerizing, though? That's the question.
It's not quite mesmerizing anymore. I'm not staring at it constantly. I just think it's amusing now.
Fair enough. For those who are joining us for the first time and wonder what this is the Geek Actually After Show. It is basically our kind of anything goes after show that we put on after we finish recording our main shows, or main show as the case may be today. And this is actually the last Geek Actually After Show for not only this year, but kind of forever, because it changes format as of January 8th. For those who are regular listeners, you'll know that the tech show has basically ceased now, and we are rolling it into this show. So we are going to end up with a show that we are simply going to call Geek Actually, and it's going to be both tech and the after show nonsense. So we really wanted to come up with a show that is literally your week in geek, or as I was thinking about the other day, we should call it the Week in Geekdom.
Week in Geekdom. Yeah, it works.
So it's the Week in Geekdom. It's the tech, it's the weirdness, it's the food, it's the everything that makes our geek culture. So there we also get in little bits of snippets of film and television. We get in everything we can because, let's face it, there are a lot of aspects to being a geek. And so this week we have rolled just a little bit of tech news into the after show because we didn't have a tech show this week. And we have a new war brewing, Josh.
We do?
We do. It is, they're now terming it in the popular press as the Cyber War. And this is all about this WikiLeaks thing and the hacker group known as Anonymous. Who hang out in 4chan, as we know. And they aren't part of 4chan. They are their own thing. But they are a group of hackers, for lack of a better word, that have basically declared war because of the treatment of Assange and WikiLeaks and everything else. And they have basically said that they are not stopping. They are going to go all out and literally bring down the man, so to speak. And it made me really think, are we heading into, if you remember Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard, Die Hard 4, when he says, it's a fire sale, man. Are we heading into that sort of territory? Because these guys are really serious about this.
I think the targets are more like it's kind of the digital version of kind of sort of a resistance uprising more than anything. It's sort of like, I mean, people probably will get hurt with this, like maybe not physically, but financially or something like this. I don't think the targets are going to be Mr. and Mrs. Joe Bloggs.
No, but will it actually affect Mr. and Mrs. Joe Bloggs by the targets they're
choosing? Well, that's what I'm saying. Yes. People will get hurt. But
there's going to be a lot of collateral damage in this.
I think collateral damage, but we've seen sort of the first of the attacks, and we've seen that there have been things that have been...
Well, I'll say this for our listeners who may not know what's going on. WikiLeaks leaked all those documents. Basically, the governments are quite pissed off with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. And Julian Assange was arrested this week in London, and he's still remanded in solitary confinement. Yeah. And the hacker group Anonymous basically has declared war to defend against the treatment of WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. Now, I want to make it very clear, and we said this last week, Julian Assange was not arrested for anything to do with WikiLeaks. He was arrested on allegations of rape. This is a whole different issue, okay? So I don't know if they're quite justified in going after things for that until we have trials and figure out what is going on with Assange. As far as WikiLeaks is concerned, I can understand why they're pissed off, but they haven't done anything illegal yet, so to speak.
Actually, to chase someone over six countries over something as small and okay... Based on
not something that you would normally extradite for.
No, and more to the point is, like, countries that don't extradite kind of going against this man mean that it's a whole lot more than just that.
Just a simple rape charge.
Understand the same way that I said about our famous director that went, you know, sort of walking into the wrong country. Yep. Yes, Polanski walks into the wrong country and ends up being charged on what he did do. I'm not taking the side of this man in any way or form. What I am saying is there is no part of this that is not linked to WikiLeaks. They wanted this man to go down, and they had something which they could bring him down with. And they have followed him country to country to country to make that happen, to the point where he has turned himself in.
Hmm.
Okay? That, to me, says that there was more going on here than just a simple allegation. Yeah. An allegation at this stage.
Absolutely. And let's be very clear. This rape charge has come and gone and come and gone and come again. So it's like they've dropped it, they've brought it, they've dropped it, they've brought it. There is more at work here than just a simple allegation of rape.
Damn right.
Now, what's interesting is that the Metropolitan Police in London are now investigating Anonymous, and they're actually trying to seek them down to bring them in. Because, let's face it, DDoS attacks on sites all sounds like fun and games, but it is actually, under the eyes of the law, and I don't agree with this, but it is, under the eyes of the law, an act of terrorism.
Yeah.
So the Anonymous group, I would say watch your tail on this one, because you've got the tools.
Hey, look,
so
they've stepped over a line far, far, far worse than anybody had planned.
Yeah, okay. and the fact that they are just continuing this. Now, somebody in our chat room, Callicent, is saying that they've now said that they are stopping the DDoS attacks, and they are now doing the quote-unquote I Am WikiLeaks campaign. I don't know. PayPal, Calcedos says PayPal held WikiLeaks funds, not Julian Assange funds, and that's why they attacked PayPal. Yes, but they have released those funds now. So
yeah, now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave, but now.
They also, but see, once again, but now. This is where this whole confusion lies. Did PayPal seize the funds because they go, oh, Julian Assange has been arrested, therefore it must be really bad and we don't condone criminal activity, not looking deeper into it to say he wasn't arrested for the purposes
Doesn't matter.
You know, it's like the whole thing
doesn't
is a
matter.
Mess.
They jumped on a situation and did something. They took money that was not theirs to take.
Mm-hmm.
They froze funds that were not theirs to take. And that, to me, is just as bad.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
There is part of me that kind of wonders whether or not WikiLeaks as an organization might need to take a step back and distance themselves from Julian Assange.
That's fine, man, but it's still... The reason that all of this is happening is not because of the Julian Assange thing. It's because of the WikiLeaks side of things, okay? They're messing with a group of people that have not been... have not had anything to do with this, okay? And yes, they know this person, and yes, you know, they want to shut this down because it drops bombs that no one wants to hear, and so on and so forth. But the reality is, the only side that I do take on this is the side of freedom of speech.
Mm.
And to say that...
Look, I support WikiLeaks 100%. I sit there and go, they're not the ones who did the illegal activity in the situation. Private, what's his name, is the one who stole the files.
Mm.
If the Washington Post had got those files, they would have published them.
Yep.
If New York Times had got those files, they would have published them. WikiLeaks did what they thought was right, which was to release these documents which were damning evidence towards something that they felt was unjust.
Damn right.
Period. End of story. Private, what's his name, is going to jail for a very long time. There's no doubt about that in my mind. The government is going to massacre him. You know what I mean? That's a whole different issue. Joe the Giraffe says in our chat room, I don't especially favor or argue against WikiLeaks, but it's fun to watch. You know,
to be honest, I don't follow WikiLeaks. I have no interest in this.
No, I'm bored of WikiLeaks. In fact, I'm bored of the whole leaking documents. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's information overload, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm just kind of over the whole thing, quite frankly. But I am following the cyber war, because this is very interesting to see where this goes. Somebody actually pointed out that Anon never got caught over the Scientology DDoSes. I doubt they'll get them now. Well, there is one issue here, which is the fact that a good DDoS attack relies on the fact you bring the server down. That way logs are lost, right? PayPal stayed up, which means that there are logs. So that is evidence that will be against Anon. Any site that doesn't go down in a DDoS attack means there's logs. You know what I mean?
But Anon is Anon, and you don't know who's responsible
for it.
Waiting through that sea of things, what are you going to do? Hand arrest warrants out to everyone?
No, but they can start doing it, looking at comparing numbers to other attacks. I mean, there's a lot. I always look at it and go, from the point of view that hackers have all these tools at their disposal, but you know what? So do the federal agencies.
Yeah.
You know, and so we look at it and go, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, let me tell you.
Yeah.
All right, to see where this goes to. And right before Christmas, too. Lovely time to be doing all this. All right, let's move on to something slightly lighter and say Infinity Blade.
Oh, yeah.
What a smash success. We talked about this in the tech show last week. We talked about how what a good app it was and how beautiful it was. It made $1.6 million in 5 days. It is an absolute smash success. Great reviews. Everybody is talking about it. And more importantly, Epic did what they've always done, which I really admire about them. They have immediately turned around and said, Unreal Engine for iOS, available to license. Go for it, guys. And so now we're basically going to see a whole rash of Unreal Engine games come out. And I think that is always a good thing.
Look, more than that, there are some interesting developments that have come as side projects of that. Look, I mean, this time of year, especially in the last week, has been the place for OS to drop. It's like they've been waiting for this week, and I don't know what it is. You've had some huge releases. And again, like, I mean, when I say huge, I mean huge for where they are.
Yeah.
Like, you've had things like Shadow Guardian, which is basically a ripoff of Uncharted. Look, I mean, I know a lot of these games are going to be like that. To really drive the market, you have to start getting people to buy these games. And we all know that Nova is a ripoff of Halo, but it's done well. We have Nova 2 drop in the last 2 days. We've had Battlefield Bad Company drop their new app, which anyone that has an iPhone should go out and get it. It's $1.20 at the moment. You have like a bunch, like, I mean, an absolute sea of new releases. If you go online, you can see them all.
And your favorite at the moment?
Dungeon Hunter 2 is an absolute amazing game. Like, I have actually played now some multiplayer, and it is just seamless. You can play over either Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or local internet, so you can actually play with people that aren't around you. Gamesloft have started including their live aspect, which is the same as Xbox or anything like that, so you can now log into an account, you can have all your friends listed, all the same sort of things as that. So they've really made it easy to kind of connect together. I mean, this is the start of the iOS device becoming a marketable console for online and also just good gaming. And this is another step on it. An interesting side note as well is Infinity Blade is now being planned to be brought to Kinect.
Oh, really?
Which I think is a fantastic idea.
I'd love to see that. I really want to see, more Kinect games come out. We've actually got a Kinect story coming up, which we'll bring up a little bit later. It's it's a corker. Now, I just point out, though, just to backtrack 1 second, our chat room is still going on about WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. And somebody brought up something very relevant. Callisons brought up and said it was just the American going crazy with their media, basically, and that Assange was going to be charged with treason. Now, as he points out in his comment, we must make this very clear. They can't charge him for treason because he's Australian.
Yes.
Right, so anything you read in the media about charging Julian Assange with treason in America is crap. They can't charge him for it. He's not American. So he can't be treasonous against the country if he's not a citizen.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. Let's get away from Assange now, guys. So the other thing I thought was very interesting about this is where Epic is going to take a huge leap in the iOS thing, because Rage, the engine that drives the id game, is the only real competitor at this point to the Epic Unreal Engine, and they're not licensing it. Id has actually said point blank they will not license it.
And you know what? I don't really care, because it's not the engine itself is apparently not that easy to work with. So
fair enough.
It sounds like, look, I mean, one thing Unreal, like you like them or lump them, they've always done is try and create an engine that's easily accessible.
And it's worked since day one when the first Unreal came out.
Absolutely. And you know what? Anybody that says that there are other engines that are currently going to, you know, sort of dwarf it or whatever, you've got to remember, this is essentially the same engine just reworked over and over again, and it's just like the new Unreal Engine comes out, and then they rework it, recreate it, and then pop it back out on the market, and it's just like, look, they've kept this going for this long, the engine is still amazing, it still works amazing on every device it works. It's a really simple system that doesn't crash that often. So, like, I mean, realistically, these guys just know what they're doing, and they're a great company. I really support them because they, from day one, they've been all about the games and all about the gamer, and they've never broken that cycle.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It says, Callison said in the chat room, Epic Games make the best game engines for indie developers. Absolutely. Yeah. Hands down. Okay. how do Australians deal with stolen iPhones? You know, you hear these stories about stolen iPhones. The Australians, they crack out the helicopter, all right? According to an article that, now I must say, once again, all of our links come from Delta Knight in our chat room. He's our researcher. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Gizmodo ran this story that basically says that an Australian got the iPhone, was stolen from a hospital in Heidelberg in Melbourne by a 16-year-old kid who pedaled away with it furiously. So what did they do? They went, she'll be right, mate. Fire up the helicopter, followed the phone via GPS using the Find My iPhone service and caught him. Tracked him down with the helicopter. So I say, that's how Australians do it.
Yeah, damn right, man. Don't steal our iPhones. We'll come and run over you with a freaking vehicle. Just, yeah, seriously, it ain't worth the trouble you're going to get out of it.
Now, once they caught the young man, they also discovered that he possessed cannabis, which he's probably likely to be charged with now, along with burglary, theft, and maybe even dangerous riding as charges. There you go. That's how Australians deal with things. Don't mess with us. We get out the helicopters. All right.
If you're going to steal a phone, don't carry weed, apparently.
No, apparently not. Now, along with all of those iPhone stories, we have quite possibly the weirdest iPhone stories come out. This was, first story was in Korea, they've now released an app for mobile phones, not just iPhones, but mobile phones in general, which is the Lonely Man's Fake Girlfriend app. And basically, if you're a lonely Korean man and you really just need that sense that you have a girlfriend, you sign up, you get this app and you sign up for the service. And basically, it just sends you random video messages and text messages from your fake girlfriend.
Awesome. So, I'm sure it'll make a lot of people really happy.
So that's one. But, you know, that's not enough for some.
Okay.
That's not enough for some. So there is a company coming out in America. This was actually at the TED Talks in Berlin. Now, the reason why this captured me, look, Delta Knight sends me a lot of links, and I have to parse through them, okay? And this one I got to, and I went, really? Whatever. But then I watched the video that went along with this, and the man is really creepy. So I had to show you this. But before we do that, what we'll talk about is why he's on video. He went to the TED Talks to basically talk about the fact that mobile phones were the way we all communicate nowadays. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we need to add the next level. Yeah. We can get across talking. We can get across communication. We can't get across feeling.
No.
So three ideas that he had for feeling on a mobile phone, and they showed prototypes of these at the TED Talks, were one, physical grasp, which basically was a strap that goes across your back of your wrist, and the phone has sensors on the side. So if you want to hold the person's hand, you squeeze the phone, and on their end, it pulls the strap. So it feels like they're getting a squeeze of the wrist. Okay.
Right.
I can see other places that strap is going to.
Yeah.
And then there was this one. His name is Fabian Hemmert. And this is about, what if you want to give the person a wet kiss over your mobile phone?
Imagine a mobile phone that lets you feel the other person's hand holding your hand while speaking on the phone. So let me show you.
So here's the strap.
The mobile phone that communicates pressure. It's very simple. It just communicates that pressure right to the back of your hand.
I love his accent.
It's really creepy.
Yeah, no, wait. It gets creepier. Listen to his little laughs and little... This is the one. Watch
this. We use a motor inside and we just pull that towards the hand.
Here's my favorite one. Oh, this is where we want to get...
Snap.
But speaking of crazy ideas, what about moisture or liquids?
The audience laughs uncomfortably.
I can imagine a lot of people, I don't want any moisture or liquids telecommunication with at all.
And some people would want a little too much, I think, my friend.
If you think about crying or kissing, can we put that into mobile phone? Well, we tried it.
What's the expression on the girl's face?
It's also that the thing's just a little bit
moisture.
Too
much. If you want to give a kiss to the other person, it goes through.
Look at that expression.
So the technology behind that is a sponge, a wet sponge. We push against the membrane. Here you see it.
Is this not the creepiest man?
It's just really
very
wrong.
Intense,
and look at that chick in the front row. Intimate. Just like,
Very intense. Very intimate.
He's just really wrong.
He's very wrong. And the last one, of course, was the sensation of like blowing on their ear or something. So you actually blow into the phone and it puts a little puff of air. And he's there going,
wrong.
Wrong in every way. I don't want my phone to have physical sensations. I'm sorry. I can imagine where that little wet sponge is going to end up, and it just makes my stomach turn.
Yeah, no, there's just so much that just ain't cool about that.
But speaking of sex, let's talk about sex.
We were talking about sex.
Well, I was. I don't know about you. How about the Kinect?
Yeah.
Okay, we've been talking about hacked Kinects for a couple of weeks now. We've talked about, lightsabers, we've seen Mario, we've seen a few things. Well, a company in America has decided that a hacked Kinect on a PC would be a great thing to do for a sex game. And this is the video. Now, it doesn't have any dialogue, so I will just describe it for our audio listeners. Basically, you have your virtual model, and you can move it around with your hand, but here's where it gets a little bit more intense. You go ahead.
Safe work.
Not safe work. Well, we carry an explicit tag, but there you go. He's moving his hand around, which is putting this virtual hand all over the girl's boobs. And all I can think is, now we need to incorporate this with that 3D that has tactile feedback, remember that they were talking about, and we might be in business here. So this is 3DSexGames.com. Now, once again, this is not Xbox, so this would require a hacked Kinect, I would imagine. Or, you know, it would require using Kinect APIs. I don't think this is what Microsoft intended when
I'm
they said...
I'm pretty sure that this is not...
Yeah, I don't think this is quite what they were talking about when they said they were opening the APIs for people to play with. So, yeah, that's just wrong in many levels. But as I say, in conjunction with the 3D that we talked about that they're trying to make, that you comply with your... Oh, man, we're going in places we really probably shouldn't
let's
go.
Let's stop.
Let's stop right there. And let's move into a section that I want to just call, quite simply, geek shit. All right? Yeah. So once again, these all come from Delta Knight. And I love this one. This is the geek gift. I'm about to look at this graphic. This is the first one. This is the geek gift that won't break the bank. This is fantastic. I'm going to actually do this. This is called the Humble Indie Bundle, and it's going over Christmas, and it doesn't actually have an expiry date, so I'm not sure how long it's going to go for. But basically, it is a bundle of games that will work on Linux, Windows, or Mac.
Right.
Games include Braid, Cortex Command, Machinarium, Osmos, Revenge of the Titans, Electronic Frontier Foundation is for giving donation, and it's also going to the Child's Play charity. You buy the bundle for whatever price you think is fair. You put in your price, and they send you the games.
What price are you planning on?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet. I'm trying to figure it out, because basically whatever money you pay for goes to those two charities.
No. You see, that's where they get you, though.
That's where they get you.
Because if you pay $5, you're just really kind of cheap.
Absolutely. It says here, how much is this bundle worth to people? Let's take a look. And they actually have here some of the stats on the bottom of their site saying they have so far sold 121,861. That just went up to one as I was watching. It's a live tally. Average purchase, $7.53. Average for Windows was $6.35. Average for Mac, $8.45. Average for Linux, $13.64. The Linux users are giving big. All right. So, look, it's worth it. We've actually got some contributors here. They've got some of the high givers.
Yeah.
So the average person is giving $13.64. However, at Notch gave $2,000 for the bundle.
Well, good on them.
So like, good on them.
I think that's more of a charity sell than anything.
Absolutely. And the top sellers are all $2,000, $1,300. Site5.com gave them $1,000. So a lot of sites are actually buying the bundle. Now, it does say at the bottom of the screen, please note, Cortex Command is still under active development. Revenge of the Titans has just launched, and Puppy Games plans to keep improving it. And your purchase of these games means you are eligible for all future updates.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right, so there's a gift for you.
Freeware winning again.
So there you go. There's a gift for you to give. It doesn't matter what system people are on. All the games are DRM-free, and you pay what you think is fair, and it goes to charity. Okay, yep. So
which
I just think
really, really, really took off anyone that bought Braid on, you know, sort of
yeah,
at the original launch date. But you know, good on them.
Good on them. Whatever. Yeah. A couple of really cute Firefox Easter eggs. Now I went and did these, and they are worth having a look at. I'm not going to spoil what they are, but I will give you what they are. This was posted on Geeks Are Sexy.
Yeah.
If you open your Firefox browser and in the address line type about:robots into the address bar and hit enter and see what you get. And the other one is if you open your Firefox and type in the, once again, the address bar, about:mozilla and hit enter and see what you get. There's a couple of Easter eggs for you to play with. Okay. If you want to know what they actually say, shall we tell them?
I don't know, so yeah.
All right, let's fire up. I'm firing up Firefox right now, and we will have a look at these. I looked at these the other night, and they're actually very cute. No, I don't want that to be my default browser. Sorry, I don't use Firefox as a default browser anymore. It's not my favorite browser.
That's like so last year.
For those who wonder what my favorite browser is at the moment, it's actually Chrome on PC and Safari on the Mac, so depending on which platform I'm on. All right, so if we do about:robots, which is, of course, close to our heart with the robot apocalypse, robots, what you get is a screen that says, "Welcome, humans! We have come to visit you in peace and with goodwill." And then it has a list of instructions. Robots may not injure a human being or through inaction. It's the robot laws of robotics. Okay. Yeah. Then if you type in about:mozilla, so they've got a sense of humor over at Firefox.
Yeah.
If you type in about:mozilla, you get a quote from the Book of Mozilla, chapter 11, verse 9, 10th edition. "Mammon slept, and the beast reborn spread over the earth, and its numbers grew legion. And they proclaimed at the times and sacrificed crops into the fire with the cunning of foxes. And they built a new world in their own image, as promised by the sacred words, and spoke of the beast with their children. Mammon awoke, and lo, it was naught but a follower."
So, wow, that's creepy.
So if you know of any other Firefox Easter eggs, please let us know. Email them over to feedback@geekactually.com. We'd love to see them. I love Easter eggs, period. Easter eggs and DVDs, yep. Blu-rays, software bundles. I just love Easter eggs. I think they're wonderful. For those who don't know what an Easter egg is, for those who are uninitiated, it basically means it is an undocumented feature that is there, usually hidden via whether it's a keystroke or a code. There have been Easter eggs dating way back to the early renditions of Office. Yeah. In fact, there used to be a golf game. I don't know if it still exists, but there used to be a golf game in Microsoft Excel. You put in a certain calculation and by a certain number of rows, by a certain whatever, and you'd have to do this whole calculation, and it would actually fire up a golf game.
Awesome. You see that?
Now, this is the part that gets me, though. How did somebody find it? That's the part that
gets me. Wouldn't it really suck if you needed that calculation?
And you went,
like, I don't want to play a golf game. I just want to do my work.
All right. Now, this looks to me like something out of the Big Bang Theory. This is a product that is coming out. Now, when I say it looks like something out of the Big Bang Theory, if you watch the Big Bang Theory, there's that one episode where Penny is trying to build her IKEA entertainment unit, and the geeks come over, and they start talking about how to improve it. They start saying, we could get a cooling system and build it out of here, and they go off to get their acetylene torches and the whole bit. Well, you know, the corkscrew. Mm. The lowly corkscrew is something you put into a cork and you pull it out.
Yep.
Geeks are not satisfied with that, so here is the cordless drill adapter corkscrew, where you basically attach it to your cordless drill and you can get those goddamn corkscrews out.
Wow.
Little bit of power, man.
Dude, you wouldn't want to use an overpowered drill or something.
No, you'd want to use a very low power drill, otherwise you're going to shred that cork. Also, in this day and age of screw tops, do we really have that many corks nowadays?
No.
Anyway, so it just tickled me. It was something that only geeks would
cute.
Do. What else we got here? Oh, Christmas lights. We all love Christmas lights.
Mm.
You know, when people go out of their way to put huge Christmas lights on their houses and so forth. Mm. But really, when you look at some of them, and these are some of the more famous ones around, and you look at how much these things actually cost to run, it starts to make your head hurt a little bit. Now, the link for this, once again, like all of our links and every story that we talk about, the links are in our show notes. So for our audio listeners, you're not going to see the picture, but you can. If you go to the link, you'll see the pictures and the details we're about to talk about. This is the house from the Fauscher family in Delaware. Okay, so here's the house for our visual lookers. I brought up on screen, right? This house has 1 million lights on it. Let me say that one more time. 1 million lights, all right? Its estimated cost is $686 an hour to run.
Oh, my God.
All right. So they're actually
saying, who's paying for it?
Well, they are. Total cost of the display, considering it's about 4 hours per day for 30 days, $82,000.
Jesus.
So I look at it and go, wow, you really are dedicated.
That's not including the price of the lights. Really? Or the organization.
Well, we can go. We keep going here. This is the Zimmerman House. Now, this is the Zimmerman House in Balboa Island, California. They only have a measly 25,000 lights.
Right.
But their 25,000 lights is still costing them $2,280 total to put the display up. And it is costing, now this is using custom software to run the house. And this is only costing them $19 an hour.
Ah, well.
Okay? So I'm assuming they've got a lot of LEDs.
Why even bother?
I'm assuming they've got a lot of LEDs in here, which is, I mean, my question is, why aren't we using LEDs?
I think that's I think they're being much more practical with this.
I think
system.
So. So let's go to the next one. This is also one that runs for 40 hours every year, apparently. This is the Norton household in Burbank, California. This
Where's
is
the house?
Buried under there somewhere is the Norton household. It's Norton's Winter Wonderland, they call it. It's only got 10,000 lights. And this one costs $900 a month to run, or $7.50 an hour. Okay, so that's not too bad. I think these people, I got to tell you, at this point, I'm thinking these people in Delaware really need to take some lessons.
Yeah.
On how to run these things. And we have one more. We have one more. This one's got 250,000 lights on it. This is the Lagerstrom House in British Columbia,
See, that's
Canada.
That's pretty, though.
That's pretty. And that one will only cost you a measly $17 an hour for that one.
Well, you know.
Now, the thing is, it's an interesting point that they make here, though, which is that this total cost of this display over the course of the run will cost them $2,040. There is an estimated cost on this one. Say if they used only LEDs, it would only cost them $240 for the month. So you sit there and go, guys, time to get some LEDs.
I imagine that somebody that's willing to put that many lights onto a situation like
isn't
that
thinking too much.
Yeah,
about
I don't think that's probably something they're thinking about.
I still think that the amazing one is that Foucher house at the beginning. Wow.
Yeah.
A million lights. Wow.
They must just be really, 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 really scary people.
Yeah.
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 Or really rich.
Really Either rich, way. I think. But the funny thing is the house doesn't actually look like a really rich house.
Mm.
That's the part that gets me.
Yeah.
All right. This is simply just goes into our cool category. We always look at the past and we always look at how did they make the pyramids? How did they make Stonehenge? And of course, those who don't want to think too hard about things immediately go, well, it must have been aliens. Humans couldn't have possibly done that. Well, that's not entirely true.
Yeah.
This is an article about Stonehenge. Now, it has baffled people for years how Stonehenge got built. Because of the size and weight of those stone slabs, and there's nothing else around it, how did they get those stone slabs there? Well, a group of people, this is an article from the National Geographic, a group of very clever people have started to do some experiments in the UK because they started to work out that in the day and age that Stonehenge was made, they didn't have a wheel. But they started to notice that there were round balls of stone that they had managed to figure out. And they've managed to figure out that these people in that Stone Age time had the ability to basically carve out a ball.
Mm.
So they started to work out that if you actually put down wooden rails, like just basically a block of wood with a carved groove in it, and put enough of these balls on it, you could actually lay the stone slab onto this and roll it like ball bearings.
Yeah.
And they actually built the rails and they put these stone balls onto it and they managed to push, according to this article, a couple of tons worth of rock on this with ease, with no problem. And so they think that this is possibly how they got the stones up to Stonehenge was wooden rails and ball bearings, basically, which I think is brilliant. I think it's a brilliant piece of deductive reasoning. It's the same way that they look at the pyramids now, and they've actually worked out the concept of ramps and wooden rollers, how they actually managed to get the blocks of stone to the top.
Yeah.
And you sit there and go, we don't need to fall back on the old argument that it must have been aliens. Human ingenuity is brilliant.
You'd be really amazed what we're
capable
of.
Yeah, we are capable of amazing things when we put our mind to it, even Stone Age people. So yep. There is your history lesson for the week. And from history, let's go to Playboy. Because
Why not? Because that's a very obvious segue.
It is always our bit on this show to try and get nudity onto the show in some way or another. And we don't often have luck in doing it. But Playboy has come to our rescue this week because Playboy has decided that Tron Legacy is so amazing that they have to do a Playboy-inspired spread.
Now, how do you do?
How do you do a Playboy-inspired spread? Like this. So,
all right.
They're using body paint and fluoro lighting to get the effect going. And there's a couple more shots. If you go over to the follow the link in our show notes, you can actually see these. These are actually not safe for work. And if you want to see the whole spread, you have to be a member of Playboy. But they have
really notice if you looked at that, though.
No, they have the sample pictures up. And they're literally body painted and doing the whole bit with the backgrounds and the whole. It's very clever. And there's one more for you as well, where they've actually used light gobos to obscure the various bits. Mm. It's very clever.
It's clever. I'll give them that.
Very clever and very pretty girls. They would not look out of place in Tron, I must say.
Yeah.
Now, this is the last one. This is a visual only. So for our audio listeners, I do apologize. Follow the link. It's a geeksaresexy.net. There's actually no story here. It was just quite simply a picture, and the caption said, Supergirl cosplay what to wear today. And as soon as I saw the picture, I went, oh, that is so good. I want a large high-res picture of this, and I want to put it with my wallpaper on my computer, because to me it's not the fact that it's cosplay. To me, it really kind of sums up the Supergirl character, that whole wishy-washy, she's changed her costume 15 times, you know, and all this stuff. Look at this picture. Isn't this could just be which is just her standing there in her red and blues, surrounded by various Supergirl costumes, basically which one. I just love that. I love that picture. I want a high res of this. And if anybody knows where I can get a high res that I can use in my wallpaper, please let me know. Because I just think that is really charming. Go to our show notes for the audio listeners and you can have a look at that picture.
Yeah.
Now, that brings us to... Boy, this show's going by fast. How long is this? Only 30 minutes. Oh, well, end of the year. What can I tell you? This brings us to our last section of the day, which, of course, is Delta's Weird Geek Food. And once again, it comes to us courtesy of the Canadians. I got to tell you, we got to find somebody else to do at some point, you know. But these Canadians are so much fun. This week, the Canadians released onto the world what they refer to as their giant, what is it? The giant meatball Death Star.
Wow.
And it's a little bit loud. I'm going to drop the volume a little bit on this one because they recorded it really loud on this one. So here you go. Here's some holiday festive food for you. Not really, but you know, we'll use that as our excuse.
Every Tuesday, epic meal time, coming straight at you with a chainsaw and a big pile of meat.
If you ain't down with that, then you ain't down with cooking. It's been a week since I had the meat sweats. We're gonna cook a whole bunch of pasta, put it inside a giant meatball, cover it in cheese, upload it to the internet so we can all have a laugh later.
Take some meat, fist it into a bowl. Vegetables.
Sorry.
Green decorative bullshit. Cause this is a cooking show. Pancetta. Cause bacon was busy. It was still cool though.
Cause bacon was busy.
What up? A meat sauce? Pool of garlic butter? Let's take your taste buds for a little swim. Or eating. Looks like a little butthole. Put the meatball in garlic bread and watch this. Oh, meat sauce.
Meat, cheese, pasta, garlic. Taking it all to the next level.
That looks really tasty, actually.
That looks freaking good. That's like the... Yeah, I'm with Joe the Drop. What a guy, man.
Look, it looks extreme, and I think it would probably kill you to eat it, but it actually looks tasty.
Yeah.
Next time, we eat Kevin bacon.
All right, so there's your weekly dose of epic mealtime. Do go check out their YouTube channel, which is Epic Mealtime. Yeah. Because they have all of the ones we've shown. They've given us great amusement over the last few weeks. We are going to try and steer to find other stuff. We started all this, if you remember, going way back with Sandwich in a Can.
Yeah, no, I remember Sandwich in a Can. We have come a long way since Sandwich in a Can. But at the same time, they've brought us some great laughs.
They have. They are wonderful. And I'm surprised they're still alive, quite frankly. All right. That's it. That's we're done.
We're done, man.
All right. Agree or disagree? Want to add something? Oh, no, we're not done. Shit. God, almost forgot it a second time. We received an email this week. And I'm just going to bring this up very quickly. I'll just bring my iPad over here. Because hello. Sorry. Keyboard. That was my fault. All right. We got an email this week that was actually for the film show. But we'll bring it up here because it is the last show of the year, which is from our very good friend Bernie over at The Real Junkies at WeekendRonan.com. He actually refers to himself as the fourth chair of Real Junkies podcast. Nice. Excuse me. He says, I hope you guys are doing well. And I just wanted to comment on last week's show. I know you guys already talked about this at great lengths, but I wanted to say I agreed with Josh about The Walking Dead. I don't read any of the graphic novels, so I couldn't judge it on that. But as a show about zombies, I loved it. I feel that the series was well written, and I loved a lot of the shots. I feel that the people that I'm supposed to care about were in the forefront, and the others not so much. I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait for season two. Love your show. Keep up the good work, and have a good show today, Bernie.
Thanks, Bernie.
So there you go, Josh. You gotta love.
Well, that's fine. It's glad to see someone doesn't hate on it.
And Bernie, I thought you were my friend, man.
Yeah. Well, let's leave it at that because, as I said before the show started, I'm done talking about
this. We're not going to do Walking Dead again. We went into it in great detail last week. Go have a listen. No. Thank you very much, Bernie. I just thought we'd better read that because we got that email and I completely forgot to read it in the film show. So it kind of went by. Yeah. All right. Back to what we were talking about here. Let's wrap this puppy up and go on holiday. Once again, we want to wish everybody who listens to this show, because I know there are slightly different audiences, we just make sure we do stress that we at geekactually.com, in general, all of our shows, want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, or a Happy Holidays for those who don't celebrate Christmas. We want you to have a great and safe New Year, and remember, we are back January 8th. Okay, so January 8th, tune in. If you're coming in live, 12 p.m. Saturday on January 8th, or if you want to listen to the podcast, it'll be at January 9th. So,
well, James from Melbourne, I know you want more, actually, as he has put in the chat room. Look, I guess for now you're just going to have to put out, just deal with reading the magazine we have coming and look at the site.
And go look at the site. And look, there's always back episodes.
There's
112 other episodes.
In fact, there's a 100th episode that a lot more people should have looked
at. That's true, too. Our 100th episode was really good, and that'll give you a good rundown of what we've actually done. So go listen to the number. Go listen to the Geek Actually After Show episode 100.
Yep.
That's a good one. All right. Anything you want to know about us, fan pages, Twitters, merchandise, whatever. It's all at geekactually.com right there on the front page. You'll find out. If you want to help sponsor the David Storms America Tour, remember you can also donate right there on the front page, geekactually.com. If you want to know more about it, there is a post about it. You can find out more about it. Quick shout-outs to our friends so that they know that we love them, which are moviefanhouse.com/reboundradio.com for the Movie Fancast, Right This Instant, and Talking Deadcast. Jesse, Charlie, Brad, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Yeah. Weekend Ronan, all you real junkies out there, Merry Christmas.
Right.
Happy New Year for you guys, too. We gave you a big shout-out in the film show. So we'll move on. RawDLC.com.
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. We're on hold at the moment, but go check out our past stuff as well. It'll keep you busy while Christmas rolls around. And I want to put a special shout-out for this episode to Joe the Giraffe, who is in Scotland at 4 in the morning still watching us do
our
stuff.
That's dedication.
And that is dedication.
That's dedication, right, man. And Merry Christmas to everybody over at RawDLC as well, okay?
And shut up about the .com. I meant .com, and you all know that.
Now, also, we want to say a very Merry Christmas to our friend Josh Spencer, who did our artwork for us. Find out more about him at attackninja.blogspot.com. And I think that's it. I think we're going to sign up, and we're going to say thank you very much to our chat room. Thank you very much to our listeners. Every one of you, you make this show what it is all about. Have a very safe holidays, and we will see you next week, next year. We will be back. It's not like we're going anywhere. January 8th, we'll be back. So stick with us. The site will run as normal during this period of time, with the exception of a few days here and there where it's actually like Christmas.
Yeah.
So we're going to go out here now. So bye, everybody, and we'll see you all in 2011.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Mm-hmm.